Would you join me again in expressing appreciation to those who lead us in praise every week? There's a great deal of preparation that's needed, all kinds of things that they need to do to be ready to do this, and they do it with a great heart and with excellence. So let's celebrate for the Lord a praise offering for their ministry. So here we are on the threshold of a brand new year. Now, for many, the next few days are just one last time to party before returning to work. Most of us, though, want to believe that we can start over in the new year. In fact, nearly half of us make New Year's resolutions for improving our lives at this time of year. The sad thing is that fewer than 10% of us successfully fulfill our resolutions. Still, we try again the next year. It's a testimony to the hope. It's a testimony to the yearning that we have that claiming a new beginning is something that's actually possible. We have a great desire for the promise of a new beginning, even if it seems that rarely we actually experience it. The truth is that the start of a new year does indeed offer a promise for a new beginning, but just like with any promise, if you want it to come true in your life, you have to claim it. There are people who sit at home waiting for opportunity to come knocking on their door. The vast majority of those people will still be waiting at home this time next year. Opportunity does not come knocking on your door. You have to go find it. To take advantage of opportunity, you have to look for it. And then when you see it, you have to seize it. The new year does hold promise for opportunity. It does hold promise for a new beginning. But if you want that promise to be fulfilled in your life, you have to claim it. So I want to share with you today about claiming the promise of a new beginning. We're going to look briefly at four situations in the Bible when people saw opportunity for a fresh start and seized it. And from these four situations, I'll share with you three things that we can do in order to claim the promise of a new beginning. But first, please join me in prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the truth that you revealed to us. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will focus our attention on what you want to say to us and empower us to apply it in our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would show us how it is that you want us to move forward in a very clear and specific way, and we will be very careful to give you the glory for all the result. So as I said, we're going to be looking at four places in the Bible, and we're going to be looking at four passages. And the first one that we'll be looking at is in the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis. So remember, as you're looking for Genesis chapter 8, remember that in the 6th chapter of Genesis, Yahweh, I've told you before, Yahweh is the personal name that God has revealed for himself to us. In the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis, Yahweh instructs Noah to build an ark, a large boat to hold his family and specimens of all kinds of animals. And then we learn in the 7th chapter that after the boat was completed, provisions were stored and the animals were brought on board. And Noah and his family entered the ark and Yahweh closed the ark. Then it began to rain. And the rain continued for 40 days and 40 nights until the surface of the earth was covered with water, even above the highest mountains. And every living thing on land died, leaving only Noah, his family, and the creatures on the ark. Understand, though, that when the rain finally stopped, there was still no place for those on the ark to go. Everything was covered with water. In fact, they were on the ark for more than 6 months. 6 months shut up in the ark with all those animals and all their food and all their noise and all their, well, you get the idea. I mean, I don't know if you've spent any time in a barn, but imagine 6 months in a mega barn. How crowded it was, loud it was, imagine the smells. Do you think that they might have been discouraged by this time? Do you think that they might have given up hope? But finally, we come to verse 13 of chapter 8, which says, "Now it came about in the 601st year, in the first month, on the first of the month, the water was dried up from the earth. Then Noah removed the covering from the ark and looked, and behold, the surface of the ground was dried up." Now I want you to give special attention to what it was that Noah did. The verse says that on the first day of the first month of the new year, quote, "Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked." I don't know for sure if Noah had become discouraged on the ark day after day, week after week, month after month. Yahweh had promised Noah that he and his family would be kept safe from the flood. But there's no record in Scripture that Yahweh gave Noah details about what he would do after the flood. But Noah trusted God. He chose faith. He didn't remain in the damp darkness of the ark. He removed the covering to see what God would do. He chose faith. And that is the first step that you and I must take in order to claim our Lord's promise for a new beginning in our lives. We must choose faith, which means we must choose to trust God, not merely to believe it, but actually to act on it. Perhaps you feel covered in defeat by overwhelming challenges. Choose faith. Throw off the covering of defeat and decide you will trust God. Perhaps you feel covered in discouragement by devastating circumstances. Choose faith and throw off the covering of discouragement. Decide you will trust God. Perhaps you feel covered in frustration because no matter how hard you try, things just don't seem to be getting any better. Choose faith and throw off the covering of frustration. Decide you will trust God. Perhaps you feel covered in shame because of moral failure. Choose faith and throw off the covering of shame. Decide you will trust God. Here on the threshold of a brand new year, there is a promise of a new beginning, but you have to claim that promise. And the first thing you need to do to claim the promise of a new beginning is to choose faith, to throw off whatever attitude or emotion that has you covered up. Decide you will trust God. Choose faith. What I'm saying to you, obviously it's not easy. I'm not suggesting to you that this is an easy thing. If it were an easy thing, I probably wouldn't be taking so much time this morning to talk about it. It's not an easy thing, not at all. And in fact, it's not something that you should expect to be able to do in and of your own power. I mean, there are so many of us who feel like if we feel shame or we feel frustration or we feel discouragement or we feel defeat, we think that we can't come to God until we have somehow dealt with that ourselves. No, not at all. No. No. It is only in the power, it's only because of the very real promise of God. Noah did not decide on his own, in his own power, to throw open the covering to look out to see what God was going to do and what God had already done. He did that because of the promise of God. The throwing off of the covering was the step of faith because he knew that God had promised more and he wanted to claim that promise. You and I need to do the same thing. If we're covered up and closed in, we've got to let go of what has taken hold of us, because indeed, taking that step of faith, choosing to trust God, is your only hope to move forward. You will remain stuck where you are until you choose faith. Take it from somebody that knows. I'm just telling you. I don't want you to go through some of what I or other people have had to go through to learn this the hard way. I'm asking you to believe what I tell you. This is your only hope forward. Trust God. There is a promise. He has it for you. Claim it in faith. To discover the second step of claiming the promise of new beginning, I want you to consider with me a situation that's recorded in Exodus chapter 40. Exodus chapter 40. Remember that the people of Israel were in Egypt for several hundred years when Yahweh miraculously delivered them from bondage. And he led them to Mount Sinai, where he gave them specific instructions for how they should organize themselves, how they should live their lives, and how they should serve him. And as part of these instructions, Yahweh gave them detailed directions to construct for him a tabernacle, a large tent, a dwelling place for him in their midst, in the midst of the camp. No longer would they have to wait and hope that someone could go visit with God on a mountain and come back. But God was going to come and dwell right there in the midst of their camp, though still separated, but in the tabernacle. And his instructions regarding the tabernacle were very specific, including its dimensions, the design, the materials, the appearance, the construction, the contents. And Moses led the people to comply in every way with Yahweh's directions. Then, in Exodus chapter 40, verse 2, we find these words: "On the first day of the first month, you shall set up the tabernacle of the tent of meeting." And verses 17 to 33 record the completion of this task by the people under Moses' leadership. And finally, in verse 34, we read that, quote, "The glory of Yahweh filled the tabernacle." So it was right there at a brand new start. God came to be with his people. Now, what I want you to see here is that there was a great deal of preparation necessary in order for the people to get ready for the move of God. God told them what to do. He gave them directions in advance. It took them a while to pull all the supplies together. It took them a while to construct the temple, the tabernacle, a place for him to come and dwell as he directed them. But the final result was that the glory of God came right there in their midst. And so the second step in claiming the promise of a new beginning is you got to get ready. There's some preparation that has to be made for the glory of God. We find the very same truth revealed to us in 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. At this time in the nation of Israel, most of the people had long forgotten that commitment that God had used to create the tabernacle in the first place. They had long forgotten their commitment to honor God and to serve him. But in verse 1 of chapter 29 of 2 Chronicles, we learn that a new king named Hezekiah came to the throne. And the scripture tells us that he led a spiritual revival in Israel. And the first thing he did, the very first thing he did, was to throw open the doors of the temple that had been closed for so long and neglected, and gave instructions for a thorough cleaning and restoration. And verse 16 describes the cleaning and the restoration like this, quote, "So the priest went into the inner part of the house of Yahweh to cleanse it, and every unclean thing which they found in the temple of Yahweh, they brought out to the court of the house of Yahweh. Then the Levites received it to carry out to the Kidron Valley." The Kidron Valley was the location of the city landfill. We're talking a thorough, complete cleaning. And in verse 17, we learn that this process of cleansing and consecration was begun on the first day of the first month. Promise of a new beginning. Now, the New Testament tells us that God no longer dwells in physical structures that we construct. That's why I don't refer to the building that we're in right now as God's house. It's not. You are. If you have opened your life to the presence of the Lord by receiving Christ in your life, you're the Lord's house. That's what the scripture says. You want to look up God's address? Look at your driver's license. That's where the Lord dwells. He dwells within you. And so, since he dwells in us, if you want to claim the promise of a new beginning, you need to make some preparations. You need to get ready. And there's some things that need to be cleaned out. Now, I don't know what that list is for you. And so what I'm about to say is not like some revelation God's given me about your life. I don't know. It's probably more of a reflection of my life than anybody else's. But let me offer some suggestions. Because God's house needs to be cleaned out. Your life and mine, if it is where the Lord dwells, needs to be cleaned. There are some things in our lives that don't belong there. There's some attitudes that do not reflect the character of God in our lives. They need to be cleaned out. There are some relationships that we've allowed to take priority over our commitment to the Lord. That needs to be cleaned out. There are some goals that have nothing to do with the Lord's call on our life. Some goals that you're working toward, some things that you're trying to accomplish that are not related at all to his calling in your life, needs to be cleaned out. There are some habits that neither honor nor please him that we need to get rid of. We need to get ready. We need to do some preparation by cleaning out all that junk. And we need to get ready by rededicating, reconsecrating. They didn't just clean out the temple, they reconsecrated it. They rededicated it to the purposes of God. And so not only do we need to allow the Lord to clean out our lives, but then to rededicate every part of our life for His glory. We need to rededicate our money for His kingdom. I've talked to you about this before. Every single penny that is under your stewardship and mine is dedicated to the Lord's work and dedicated for His purposes, regardless of how you are going to spend it, what kind of car you drive, what you do in the grocery store, what you do with your spare money. Yeah, every penny has to be dedicated to Him. Every minute, we've talked about this before, it all belongs to Him. It's not like, well, I'm going to give Him some and the rest of it is my time. There ain't no my time if you belong to the Lord. Your talents, your gifts, invested in His ministry. Here on the threshold of a brand new year, there is a promise of a new beginning for us. But we have to claim that promise. And the first thing we got to do to claim the promise of a new beginning is to choose faith. The second thing we have to do is to rid our lives of all the things that don't honor God and rededicate every single part of our lives to His glory. We got to get ready. We got to make preparation. And there's one other thing I want to tell you about claiming the promise of a new beginning. To do that, I'd like for us to look at Ezra chapter 7. Ezra. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, Ezra. Just a couple of books before Psalms. Not very long, sometimes we don't visit there very often, but a powerfully important part of the revelation of God, Ezra chapter 7. Remember that because of their disobedience, Yahweh allowed His people to be conquered. And a great number of the people were taken captive and exiled from the land. And they continued in exile for 70 years. And the Bible tells us that finally the people were allowed to return to the land. And we learn that God chose a man named Ezra to lead a spiritual renewal among the people. Ezra was a member of an exiled Jewish family living in Babylon when God called him. And chapter 7 of the book of Ezra tells us that he traveled from Babylon to Jerusalem to begin his work, and the journey took 4 months. Ezra 7, 9, and 10 tell us, on the first of the first month, Ezra began to go up from Babylon. And on the first of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem because the good hand of his God was upon him. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of Yahweh and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. 4 months. 4 months. I get frustrated when I'm stalled on the freeway. 4 minutes. The distance must have seemed great to Ezra, but he did not allow this to prevent him from obeying his Lord. When the day came, he got up and started moving. He didn't wait for the opportunity to come to him. He didn't wait for someone to build a railroad or an airport so the trip wouldn't take so long. He didn't wait for someone else to volunteer to go in his place. He got up and started moving. And that's what you need to do. If you want to claim the promise of a new beginning in your life, you got to start moving. There's some things you need to do. Get started. Start planning a budget so that you can make sure you have enough money to invest directly into the Lord's work. Don't wait to see what kind of money you might have left over. Start laying out a schedule so you can make sure that you spend time in prayer and reading scripture every day. Don't wait to see what kind of time you might have left over and how you're feeling at the end of the day. Start identifying new habits so that you can make sure that you are memorizing scripture, that you are sharing your faith, and that you are using your gifts in ministry all the time instead of just on special occasions for special events. Here on the threshold of a brand new year, there is a promise of a new beginning for you. But you have to claim that promise. And the first thing you need to do is to claim the promise of a new beginning is to choose faith, to choose to decide you're going to trust God, even if you don't know for sure what he's going to do. Especially if you don't know for sure what he's going to do. That's what it means to trust. The second thing you need to do is to get ready. Make the necessary preparations, cleaning out and rededicating. And then to claim the promise of a new beginning in your life, you need to budget your money, schedule your time, and establish new habits. Be specific. You need to start moving. So I challenge you to get started this afternoon. Today, you feeling defeated? Give God your defeat today and trust him. Are you feeling discouraged? Give that discouragement to him and trust him. Don't expect that he's necessarily just going to dispel the discouragement. Expect that probably what you will need to do, it's what I need to do, is to trust him in the discouragement. You feeling frustrated? Give God your frustration and trust him. You feeling ashamed? Give God your shame and trust him. Allow the Spirit to do some deep cleaning in your life. Cleaning attitudes and relationships and goals and habits. And then recommit your money, your time, your talents, and your gifts. A year from now, if the Lord tarries and he allows, we will again be on the threshold of another year. And there's an important question for you to consider right now, a year in advance. On December 29, 2026, will you be looking back with regret over missed opportunity of a new beginning? Or will you be looking ahead to discover even greater experiences with the Lord beyond all that he wants to do with you this coming year? Right now, I encourage you to claim the promise of a new beginning in your life, right now. Turn to the person beside you. I've got some things I want you to say to them. First, say to each other, choose faith. Now say to them, get ready. And then say to them, start moving. Some people are already ready to get moving right now. And so the musicians are going to come up as I lead us in prayer. Let's pray together. Lord, we are grateful that you continue to give us promises. Though so often we have frittered them away. We ask that as we look forward to what you want to do in coming days, that you would show us how it is that we can, in a stronger, deeper way, trust you. We ask that you would show us how to open our hearts and our lives to you, to open our souls to you, to do the deep cleaning, so that we might dedicate ourselves to you anew. Lord, we are eager to get moving. We're asking that you would show us how to do that. We give us ourselves to you for that purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen.